You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Let's go. Good morning, Wakeys. It's Wednesday. And of course, Woden's Day is the old way of saying it to those pagan Norse people. We have our good friend Barney Brenner here.
On third Wednesdays, good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Pretty well.
It was good to see you and Mrs. B on Saturday at the party.
And 175 others.
That's untrue. It's 32. Remember, we got to say, whatever Justine says is true is true. That's what I say. So,
well, they all had multiple personalities.
That's a little Freudian slip right there. I just thought about it.
Maybe true.
And then
we all have our moments.
And then your good friend won the big gold. I don't want to say her name so she gets rolled over, but by
true,
somebody. But so we're going to be for security's sakes.
And she was shocked.
I was shocked.
I was looking indeed at her when they called her name, and it was, oh my gosh. So good for her.
Absolutely. We have at 7:07 today, Adam Shelton from Goldwater is going to call up, and they had a little bit of a victory over the city of Scottsdale about trying to backdoor a tax that wasn't a tax and all this stuff. So we're going to talk to Adam about this, just so we all recognize the pattern of such things. Even though, you know, this is Pima County, we like to do things like that. We'll tell you we didn't raise your taxes, even though we did raise your taxes three years. I'm okay. I'm proclaimed 3 years in a row.
The election shuffle: three steps forward, one step back.
Yeah,
a step each year.
Well, and you can see it, like, so if you look at the border, and after that, what they've let everything that's come through, the misery that's over that border.
We have a border.
Yeah. Hold on, Barney gets a ding for that one. There you go. Now all of a sudden they say, "Oh, we're, you know, they have their little theater, which is really good, right?" So they say, "Oh, we're going to limit it to this now, right?" And then what you do is you have your left wing allies come out and go, "Oh, the Biden administration's so draconian now when it comes to locking down the border," like. But again, the media. The media is the enemy of the people, and I would say that's for at least 80-90% of them, because if they would just reflect what they were taught, what they were supposed to be taught in journalism 101 of the what, hows, wheres, and wires, right, and just report it, right, we would be in a much better place as a country and society.
But if you talk to people wanting to go into journalism, Rush used to say it a lot. Their ass, and they say, "Well, I want to make a difference." Well, become a doctor.
Well, you can make a difference in the media, right? But you just, doing your job.
Well, especially investigative type.
Yeah. So, actually, forget about invest. Just tell me what's going on in the town, right? Tell me if there's something going on legislatively. Tell me what the Democrats said and the Republicans said, and move on with your day.
Yeah, right? when Fox News came out with the slogan, "They want to be fair and balanced."
Right.
That's when I knew they were toast.
Right.
Because all I want to get from the media is complete and accurate.
Right.
And I'll decide how fair and balanced it is.
I agree. There was also the "We Report, You Decide" tagline. It's better. Well, it's a little better.
It should be, if that's what they actually did, but that's as phony as $3 bills.
Like I said, it's if you read the Sentinel, Star, and Weekly in Tucson, you wouldn't know anything was so bad in this town, right? At least Biz Tucson gets paid for fluff pieces by the people who sponsor and get ads. It's pure ideology that's holding it all on the other side. So,
you know, if the Sentinel really wanted to make a name for themselves, they would report everything the Star doesn't.
Yeah.
And people would go to them.
The So it was, and it is true, while she made her own bed, and that's life, and I'm glad that she lost her primary, the Sentinel went hard after it was fed the story about Wadsack going 71 in the 35, right? But all these other things that you wish he would go with the same sort of vigor, you just know he doesn't.
Yeah, well, that was just too blatant and too local a story not to give good coverage. But it's just so bizarre. Going 71 in a 35 was not nearly as bad as what happened subsequently. Her reaction, her ongoing reaction to it,
yep.
And now pleading not guilty.
Absolutely.
And then one of the callers on the show said, when she asked the cop, do you know who I am? Which is, you know, a very common question from people who think they're God's gift.
Yep.
But it was pointed out that that's really a threat. You know, I can hurt you.
Sure. No. I would say that, again, nothing's ever, you know, again, we just want some humility from our folks, right? And
good luck.
Right now. Thank you. All right, let's do some stories here. Editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, the Chicago model for Democrats. We have the LA Times editorial board says, yes, more schools should ban student cell phones. We'll have that discussion. Don Lemon polls women in Cleveland about Trump v. Harris, and pretty much 95% of them went for Trump.
That's encouraging.
Yep. A good breakdown of what would happen to America in relation to food supplies if we did the, quote, the price controls.
Government controls, yes.
As Kamala said about that price gauging, you know, she forgot it was gouging, so it's okay. As we like to say, you know, Trump and Biden are at least 80. I don't know what her excuse is in relation to either of them. She's just not as sharp as you think. And this is one of the greatest failed upwards career in history.
Peter Principle.
Yep.
Her Peter Principle was met, I think, about four occupations ago.
We have the unemployment numbers have been revised. And we're not just talking second quarter, we're talking first quarter. And as our friend Don Adams would say, missed it by that much, by a lot. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the mess that is the Democrat convention, including pushing Biden to 11 o'clock at night Eastern so no one would watch him, and also canceling James Taylor's performance just so they could. They're so messed up. We got to talk about the $600 million to widen I-10. TPD K-9 injured at scene of officer-involved shooting. Thank God Pima County asked Chris Mays to get involved in the water rate reimbursement versus the city. The University of Arizona is now sharing safety tips for you to survive going to the University of Arizona. We got a report released from Pima County deputy-involved shooting, and there's a classic classic statement from our off-the-hook angry sheriff. 42-year-old man found dead off of Old Spanish Trail. We got that going for us. K-Gun 9 found, of course, it's our drug guy, Eddie Salaya, doing a story pumping up the Downtown Partnership's vinyl program to cover windows of empty buildings, and somehow this is a good thing. But again, Eddie's the pot. He's the pot reporter, so I'm sure it'll be all fine.
It worked in Blazing Saddles, making all the storefronts look like they were busy and bustling.
It reminded me of
Rock Ridge, you know,
when they went to the Super Bowl was in Detroit, and they had to cover blight, so they put up billboards in front of the blighted neighborhoods with greatest Super Bowl moments. So there's like a picture of John Stallworth making that amazing catch for the Steelers, right? Covering up a horrible neighborhood. That's what this feels like. So
Rock Ridge, Arizona, baby. Rock Ridge.
Visionary. Kruger v. State in the egg battle. hopefully we can do a little crossover with Kruger. Grant, if you're listening, or any of your loved ones, see if you can get here a little early. We'll do a little crossover egg discussion. Conover not ready to charge suspect in the domestic violence case.
Need more time.
She charges suspects?
Look at Barney, too, in the Something first segment. New. Look at him. See, when Barney went to peacefully sarcastic, you notice he got two dings? That was beautiful. I'd like to start doing a rundown of some of the ballot measures before it's over. Then I got a Wake Up Tucson memory from 15 years ago on Facebook, and we're going to do that when we come back. Sean McCluskey posted on my Facebook page. It was the KOLD story about the absentee mayor while she's partying up, drinking champagne and strawberries in Chicago while her town falls apart. It was the comments on the KOLD story about her being a guest speaker, and they're pretty golden. So we'll go through that. Barney and I are going to go through what I think the reality of the Democrat Party platform is, and they use weird words like freedom a lot, and I want to know what we think their version of freedom is before this is over.
You keep using that word, but I don't think you know what it means.
Made me feel better. John and Post and Melissa released the pumpkin patch. As we're getting out of summer here, I told humidity, you can go away now. God bless you. F off. We're done with you. But opening day is October 5th. Block that off for the pumpkin patch. Made me feel better. Then I saw this on, again, my LinkedIn page, because it tells you what people I'm friends with comment on, because it's that desperate to get your attention. And someone liked some crap from Laura Shaw from Sun Corridor. And it was their big, I don't know if you guys saw this, we had a new business announcing hiring plans. So I'm going to let this one's massive. Just, it's going to blow your doors off. That's what it's going to do. So let's go to break.
We doing 4 hours today?
I hope not. Jeez.
It's
one of the worst things we ever did in 15 years of this show was 4 hours of radio. Woof! Barney Brenner, Christy Simone, and you. Today's playlist is Led Zeppelin versus The Who. Matt wanted, he thought I was really doing the Weird Al Tiny Tim battle. So I was gaslighting you like the Democrats. 6:19 in the morning. Little Baba Baba Baba. Wake up. A Viking song on Woden's Day. I like that. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. I can see the GOP rhino screamers. He's a pagan! He's a pagan now! Pagan rhino. Barney Brenner, Christy Simone, and you gentle listeners. One of the few things I like about Facebook is some of the memories that'll kick up, right? And you go, oh, that's kind of a cool thing, right? So I got one from 15 years ago. This could be the oldest memory that's ever been kicked out on Facebook.
That's from the original months.
Correct.
The first few months of the show.
So we just had Tucson's birthday on the 20th, right? As we head towards Tucson's funeral day. But it was the story of Joe Higgins gets contacted by the TPD Organized Crime Division. That's what I put on here. Inquiring if our underpass over budget party at Athens on 4th. Which possibly could be the first happy hour in the history of Wake Up Tucson. Oh, there's Steve Farley with the sound of prosperity. taking it down to see the old lizard wizard. So Joe gets a call or an email. I think I got a call originally. And so we're promoting this at Athens on 4th. They're doing the Bob walk-up dressed as a deranged Willy Wonka doing a ribbon cutting of the underpass. And we thought it was appropriate to make fun of Bob, God rest your soul, Robert, right? because he said on when Buckmaster was on KUAT, he asked him about the amazingly overpriced underpass. It was supposed to be a $15 million budget, but it clocked in around $45 or something like this. And I just remember he just leaned in and said what a great deal it was. And then he mentioned some acronym, EMI, SME, whatever it was, that I don't even know what the... And Bill, sad to say, didn't follow up on, well, what's that, right? And we just thought that was perfect for the city of Tucson. The $15 million overpass for $43 million. And everyone, and they're like, oh, what, Rio Nuevo? We're blowing money like crap? What? Right? So we did at the same time. So we're at Athens on 4th, right, at 4th and 6th, the big brick building, which is now an OPA or something like that. And George, our buddy there, did the lamb on the spit outside on the patio. And... it was the beginning of all the classics. Sean McCluskey was running for city primary. Yeah, that makes sense. 15 years ago. Yep. And he was running against Judith Gomez at that time. You know, and Antonori was there. It was all the classics. Barney was there, right? And so Joe gets a call from TPD because someone from the city who was listening to the show that we were doing this narked on us to TPD and said these radio jackass, I'm sure it's probably Ray Carroll called them, I'm sure, these guys are going to protest this wonderful ribbon cutting. You never know. So anyway, that they want to know, they said that, oh, you guys are doing an official, like a protest of this event, and did you get a permit? And we're like, and Joe's like, I think we're eating lamb and drinking vino is what we're doing at Athens. And so they laid off of us. But that was our first in the, you know, the people at the city don't like anyone listening to Wake Up Tucson was the moment someone narked us out to the cops who were hitting us on whether or not we needed an official permit to eat roasted lamb and drink some St. George wine.
Someone else, I think, was there. It's the late, great Chris Lambaris.
Was Lambaris at that party?
Yeah, I was sitting at a table with him.
Oh, look at that. Well, that's cool. One of the last, again, if I could have replaced Ninsel, Stellar, and Dylan Smith with three Lambarises, this city could be a city of gold on the hill.
Well, we certainly would have a more informed electorate.
That party was some, and then actually the comments for that was by our friend Burke Carroll, who passed away a few years after that. It was so weird, I hadn't heard Burke's name. He was a buddy. He was a part of the Sal Point Mafia with Hig Dog, and I think he was part of the Foothills Club in those days also.
All right.
And then all of a sudden I saw Burke's name again. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So anyway, it was the 15 year anniversary of us getting questioned by TPD on whether or not we were having a unlicensed protest where we were just getting together with the fam. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. It's Zeppelin versus The Who. We're about a half hour away from Adam Shelton from the Goldwater Institute. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. The curse is here. Holy cow. Early in the morning curse. Oh, my God. This is getting bumped into by the curse. This is something else. Got Jimmy Page cranking in the background. It's good stuff. So I was just looking, Barney and I were looking through the photos of that underpass over budget party. And the best one is this picture I took of Bob Walkup in the top hat. At the front, and he has this look like a lost... And Barney said it right. He does resemble a young Joe Biden in this picture, just looking lost. God rest your soul, Bob. You were a pretty terrible mayor before it was all over. And then just to see some of the old faces in the pictures, right? So TJ, our buddy from Gray Line, was there, of course. Judith Gomez, who ran for city council, and then we don't know what happened to her. My buddy Jackie Ludwig from Visit Tucson. Nina Trasoff, she was not at our party. She was Sean McCluskey talking to Robert Medler. Antonori walking around with his little Bluetooth. Remember, he had it on all the time. So he had that. He loved the little Bluetooth. One of my favorite, you know, Matt, we talked about sniglets, words that shouldn't be, that should be in the English language, but they're not, right? Lactomangulation, gas hole, all of those, right? And the one that I always liked for the, that came up later, Rich Hall did, for people who always, this is not a personal thing at Frank. Frank, just chill out. People who wear their Bluetooth all the time, he used to call them Blue Tools. I always thought that was a, that was kind of a good one.
I do have one small correction, though.
Yes, sir.
Mayor Bob Walkup was a great mayor for 6 months.
Oh, I agree with that. He got the Stockholm Syndrome.
He decided he wanted to be liked more than he wanted to be mayor.
Yep. He was put in there by the business community to try to get Tucson back on a more business-friendly thing. But the problem is he was so spineless that it didn't get there.
As, if I may.
You
as,
may.
As mayor, I thought his first term was good. Thought his second and third term, to your point, the Stockholm Syndrome. And I know why a lot of Republicans were mad at him, because he wouldn't endorse Steve Kozacik and Ben Bueller Garcia. I think that was the year they were running. So I understand the GOP party angst. He did cobble together a working majority in his first term and actually got a few things done. And that's why Elkhorn Mall is probably standing and functioning as an ongoing business right now instead of a parking lot or God knows what. So
what did they do for Elkhorn Mall?
That was the big box.
They went through all these stupid fights with the big box ordinance. We're going to close off Dodge. We're going to close off Allen. We're going to reopen them. We're going back and forth. And all these people wanted the evil Walmart gone because they were an evil big box, because they didn't have union workers, and they passed this stupid, somebody passed a stupid big box ordinance, which they got reversed. And Elkhorn Mall is a money making venture.
Did it
today.
Actually get reversed?
Well, I thought they still have that. They or still modified or something.
Maybe just for that, because you know, personally, you have the El Encanto people to the west in relation to what they think that could be. I have a friend of mine who lives just north of Elkhorn Mall. He's a snob. He might be in the studio right now. do you remember that was the one where Starbucks couldn't get their milk delivered early in the morning? That was the other thing, because they didn't want to, the people at Encanto didn't want to hear the truck at 6 in the morning or 5
so
in the morning.
So all I'm saying, I thought Walkup's first term was a bright spot. And then I
didn't want to wake up Mark Kelly at his house in Houston.
I understand.
I mean, El Encanto.
I understand the purely partisan angst with him over his unwillingness to help a couple of Republicans across the finish line, which would have given him help. I mean, look, he had Kathleen Dunbar and he had Fred Ronstadt, but he could have had Ben Bueller, 172 votes, something like this.
Yep.
And what an asset Ben Bueller Garcia would have been.
So two people stabbed Ben in the back, right? The Tucson Metro Chamber, because he worked for them and they wouldn't endorse
right.
him.
Right.
All right. And Bob Walker.
And imagine, you know, that inflection point, what the good things that could have happened if he'd have been on the council. So certainly understand the partisan angst with him. I thought his first term was good. I thought the third term, that gets back to...
Well, he lost his mind during Rio Nuevo.
And then he's, you know, I mean, also, I get it. He was working to, you know, elect and or reelect Nanos and, you know, all the other things. But as far as the first term
was
concerned,
that was the final smearing of Bob's legacy.
There's one other endorsement that he didn't make that would have made a huge difference.
Barney Brenner.
That's right. He was elected in 99, and I helped him as much as I could in that first campaign. And he wouldn't lift a finger for me when I ran in 2000, and that would have flipped the board.
One of my favorite ones ever was, now that they're both not in office anymore, I can tell the story. Bronson beats DeMarco, right? 2016. Right? 2016, yeah. And the day or two after election, that election, Rothschild's on the show. First thing he says when he walks in the studio, he goes, "I can't believe you guys couldn't get rid of Bronson." I said, "You endorsed her, Jack." I said, "You endorsed her, jackass." Now you're disappointed the Republicans couldn't get rid of her. You know what happened was Jonathan hated Huckleberry, right? As the guy who was like the proverbial stoner in high school, he probably hated the angry jocks. And I don't know. There's something with Huckleberry that just turned him off. Turned me off too, Jonathan. We had that in common. But he really hated Huckleberry. But I remember him saying that. I'm like, but you endorsed her. You can't have both. You can't complain that she's still there and you endorsed her. But yeah, he's a big honorable guy over there. Let's get to some comments while I'm feeling petty. This is the KOLD story about Romero talking at the RNC. I also love the picture that KOLD used of her. It's the most perfect. I don't know, it just looked like she sat on a wet pillow or something like that on the patio. You know what I mean? It's like, But there's over 100 comments on this. So let's get go. And of course, Keith, our Keith did a couple of things. Let's see what we got here. Can't even control the city. Makes sense. Dems have a record of promoting total failures. She's an embarrassment to our city. Let's see. Yes, the Dems love her, pushing socialism, defunding the police. She's making Tucson her resume of failure. Crime's out of control. This is from Manny. Rahina Romero with Chief Magnus decimated TPD to a point where the numbers dropped to below where they were in the 80s. The meth addict homeless rule the streets. The media here doesn't care and continues to let the city council and Romero just get away with mismanagement of a city. You know what Manny gets? He gets one of these. That's where he's getting. Let's do this, Matt. Let's go to break. And we got some local stuff I want to go through. Then we got Adam Shelton from the Goldwater Institute at the top of the hour. And then after that, Barney and I are going to talk about a William Wallace word from Braveheart called freedom. And we're going to talk about whose version of freedom is possibly better for the average American. So we'll do that. Give us a call. 790-2040 is the phone number. While we talk to the curse, that person that lives just north of Elkhorn, who was there with his no milk deliveries before 6 o'clock sign. I could tell it right now. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, we're doing Zeppelin Who today on the combative playlist, as we like to call them. Kruger's coming up on Grant on Jump In. He has the owner and chef of Tandem American Kitchen. Actually, you need to listen to it. I don't even know where that is, so he's going to help us out. And then
Tinker Verde and Bear Canyon.
Tankaverde and Bear Canyon. There you go. And then under Food for Thought, he'll talk about Fire Truck closes another location, but there's a new coffee house at 1610 North Tucson Avenue. And then Sonoran Restaurant Week coming up on the 6th through the 15th, where I did love about the Sonoran Restaurant Week. There's a Tucson foodie story that says it's like a $3 million economic impact, which I really don't believe. And the source was Shane, the guy who owns Tucson Foodie. Oh, okay. Sounds like Huckleberry, doing a... Or it could sound like a guy who wants to do an ice rink somewhere in a Southwest doing job creation numbers. But we'll be fine. We'll be fine. So we had this... There's a fly in here that's driving me crazy. Report released from Pima County, deputy involved shooting. Sweaty Pitts got out there and talked about... an officer that was shot, Deputy Augustin Gonzalez, is out of the hospital after suffering a gunshot wound to the lower calf. Thank you, Flynn. He is expected to recover. And you know what I love here is, I just love the way Nanos talks a little bit. He's just extra special that way. And I like that the quote is, this is nothing more... Okay, I don't know how to ever take him sometimes, right? Two men jumped out of the vehicle. Deputies chased him. That's when Nano said one of the suspects fired at Gonzalez multiple times. Okay? Nanos described the situation as, quote, nothing more than an ambush, unquote. What is it? He makes it sound like a simple Redditor, it's just an ambush. One of my guys got shot, for God's sakes. It's nothing but an ambush. You know what's interesting? Has any Democrat, I was just going to look that up. I got talking to the snob from the El Encanto adjacent neighborhood. So for Chris Nanos for sheriff, did any Democrat yet endorse him? Or is it just him and his command team against the world? Here's the endorsements. Oh, I forgot. The two organizations that are run by his commanders, the Pima County Sheriff's Association and the Sheriff's Labor Association. Now, you remember the other one that Don Barkman and Aaron Cross have are the ones that all left those, and a majority of them are in the Deputies Association that can't stand Nanos. And then the National Organization of Women endorsed Nanos. And I think the show, I don't even know what the sheriff commanders are. Oh my God. Dupnik came out of wherever he's at to endorse Nanos. Dupnik, do you really hate this town? What is going on? But you know something? No elected Democrat, Barney, has come out for Nanos. No Adelita, no Rex, no. We know Matt Hines can't stand him. So do we think this the Democrats, will there be? It's going to be so tough. You would think in this situation that Democrats would cross over, and either they're going to leave. Maybe they'll leave it blank, which would be good for Heather, right? But do we think there's going to be crossover from Democrats, or do they hate Trump so much they won't cross over with anyone with the same R behind their name? What do you think?
Well, first, it's a bit of a down-ballot race, but the electorate is so uninformed. That's true. Stereotypical low-information voter that they just check the D box.
Yep.
If they go down the line to the end of the ballot, it's D, 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 D. And that's the end of it.
Yep.
And not attributing any of the current woes of the city or the county to its administration in either case. So, you know, we're stuck. Perfect example is the Conover race, where Mike Jetty, in a primary, you know, you talk frequently about the way to get better people in office,
right,
is in the Democrat primary.
Yep.
And he was the perfect example. And God bless her, Barbara LaWall comes out of retirement, very, very unusual situation, to really trash her successor.
Yep.
And rightly so. And it didn't carry enough weight. You know, you have no way of knowing what percentage of the electorate actually saw her editorial in the Star. Certainly didn't hear the interview on this show, but the margin with which Conover won is depressing. So what are you going to do? You know, it's a question of turn out the lights.
Part of this too, right, is, so I've heard people say, you know, Jetty should have ran as an independent or R. What's your take on that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're talking at the general.
Right.
So you're talking about a much larger electorate, much more polarized within the Democrat Party primary, relatively low turnout. You don't have to turn that many votes. And he didn't turn nearly enough.
Well, he got out ground gamed.
Well, that's a given.
Yep.
Because there really is a very active machine.
It's also easier for the Democrats in the primary like that to chase the ballots they need to make it happen, right? I think that's also, Mike spent a lot of money. He spent over $200,000 on, you know, advertising, marketing, all those things, but the ground game crushed him in the end.
Yeah. You know, there's no way of knowing of paying people going door to door. 200 grand is a bunch of bucks.
Yep.
And by going door to door, maybe soft D's, maybe low propensity D's, go knock on the door. Hey, can you vote your ballot?
Yep.
We have a big problem in this community. You can help correct it. But, you know, it didn't happen.
You know what it is? We just don't have the resources to pay for the ground game on the R side.
Well,
right? Or the non-D side, let's say that, in Mike's case. And then the non-machine D, right? Or the R. We just... because there's organizations running around doing this, right? Paying good money for their people to get things done. And that's the difference. When people say, what's the difference, right? What's going on between R's and D's and all this stuff? They have real money to pay their people, right? So we have volunteer PCs that we always love to talk about in the Republican Party.
Yeah, right? But again, I'm thinking about 200 grand. What would it take? But, you know, just the volume of people that come out on the left. The old saying is the problem is people who work for a living are outnumbered by people who vote for a living.
There's truth to that, right? At the same time, too, right, is, you know, in the Jetty race, you're chasing down these ballots, right? And, you know, so I guess the question is, if you spent $200,000 on boots on the ground, right, does that equal what the Dems did? And but not just the Conover, the idea that Jen Allen, who is a horrible socialist leftist, whipped everyone in a four-way race by 54%. That's ground game, dude. They can be, you know, and the idea that, again, they both Conover and Jen Allen were the Grijalva Romero candidates in those cases. Right. So that's why I'm at where. So let me ask you a question. So we always hear the Republicans talk. We got whatever the number is. I'm going to say seven. I don't know what the real number is. I'm sure I'll be called Rhino for getting it wrong. But 750 PCs, let's say, if that's the number right now. So you've been through one or two election cycles. What percentage of PCs actually activate and do something? Is it 10%? I've asked this of other people. 10 is about the highest I've heard. Does that feel right?
Certainly could be.
All right. But let's say we're talking about you could have 80 to 100 Republicans, right, activating. But what's happening is, you know, those people have lives.
They work for a living.
Right. So, you know, like I said, there's the people that could get a good amount of people showing up on a weekend, right? They don't do Sunday morning because a lot of them go to church or things like that. So they go out on Saturdays a lot. Great. Well, I think the D's are running, they're doing at least 6-7 days a week of chasing down stuff.
They may be.
Right? And that's going to be the difference. So, all right, Adam's coming up from the Goldwater Institute. I got a huge job announcement from the Sun Corridor that's just going to blow your doors off. Like, just wow. Holidays, before we get there, it's... all right, I'm going to ask Barney, what is it's National Medical Dosimetrist Day. What's a dosimetrist?
You got me stumped.
Wow. Let's see. Dosimetrist.
Dosimetrist?
Oh, it's a certified medical professional designs radiation treatment for cancer patients. That's a dosimetrist. So we got that. It's National Spumoni Day.
I know what that.
You know what Spumoni is, right? Barney's almost dead right here. National Brazilian Blowout Day. You know what that is, right, Barney? A Brazilian blowout? Let me ask. Hey, Matt, real quick. Do you know what it's National Brazilian Blowout Day. You know what that is?
Is that like a Brazilianaire? You're really rich?
Exactly. Wow, we're just nailing it today. It's a hair treatment. Come on, buddy. It's also National Sweet Tea Day and National Poets Day. So just didn't know it, as they say. Adam Shelton is coming up from the Goldwater Institute. Then Barney and I are going to get to this huge trio announcement about a job at a business that's... Barney may fall off his chair. That's all I'm saying. Wake up.